This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. With summer just around the corner, let's be honest, we're all thinking about a summer holiday, be that at home or abroad. And while some are dreaming of relaxing on a sun holiday, many of us are looking for a bit more of an adventure. We might want to hit the gym every day while we're away, but being active on holiday has its own appeal to lots and lots of people. What are the best options out there? And are we looking further afield or are we staying at home? Well, my next guest is the expert in holidays, and I'm delighted that Paul O'Connella, the Irish Independent travel editor, is joining me today to tell us all about the best active holidays around and how we can get a little bit more bang for our buck this year. Paul, welcome to the show. How's it going?
It's going good, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to be on. So this is I wanted to do this episode for ages. I think there's a huge market out there for people who want a bit more of an active holiday. I follow you all the time on Instagram. I read all your stuff. You find places that I've never heard of before. And I want you to go on and tell all of our listeners about all these fabulous places around the country. But active holidays, they are very popular. And it's not necessarily like a boot camp or whatever, but it's just, it's active, it's movement. And they're very popular now.
Oh, big time. And I'm glad you said that in terms of how do you define what an active holiday is, because you can get hung up on this really quickly and think if I want an active holiday, I have to go and climb Kilimanjaro, or I have to, you know, kayak the whole coastline of West Cork or whatever it may be. But that's not the case at all. In fact, what we call soft adventure, which can be anything from pulling out a pair of binoculars and looking at birds to playing golf, walking, cycling a greenway or whatnot, are considered to be about 90% of all of the activity and adventure holidays in the tourism industry. And when you think about it, that's pretty much everybody. And you don't have to go away specifically to do an activity. A lot of people just do them, you know, for an hour or two a day while they're there, or they might have a let's say if you're particularly into diving, you might do a paddy course in the morning, but then go sightseeing in the afternoons or just chill in the afternoons. So there's a huge diversity to what we might call activities. But I was hunting around for a few stats to get a sense of how big it is before I came on to you, Carl. And there's one or two studies I found. One was by American Express in 2021, which is the height of the pandemic, found that this was about wellness holidays, and it found that about 68% of us look to base our next trip around improving our mental well-being. So that may not be physically active or you have to walk or you have to go and cycle or whatever, but we're kind of gearing ourselves towards using the holiday as a break and something that's good to sort of reboot ourselves. So it really just depends how you talk about it, but it's definitely informing loads of our trips.
Because for a lot of people, when they hear the word active, or, you know, they think of those kind of bucket list trips or bucket list holidays. The Camino is one that springs to mind. It's a very trendy thing to do at the moment, and it's a very bucket listy thing to do. So for some people, that is the driver, isn't it? Like, it's Everest Base Camp, or it's diving with sharks or whatever, but it's a bucket list kind of trip. So for some people, it's that. And then for others, it might be half a day of fishing while they're in Kong and Mayo or something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. And bucket lists are interesting because I think there was, cast your mind back to the worst of the lockdowns, when a lot of us were kind of recalibrating how we thought about life and what we do when we came out of the whole pandemic. And one of the things we did, a lot of us did decide, was that we would put a bit more money or you know, commit ourselves to really experiential trips when we could travel again. There was a hashtag, when we travel again, doing the rounds on Twitter, for example. And I think that a lot of people have done that. It can take all kinds of different forms. So I'll give you an example. My son and I started watching Formula One in lockdown. It's the most inactive activity I can think of, because you sit on the couch and you watch cars going around in a circle, as his sister tells us all the time. But when we came out of the pandemic, we went and booked a trip and did it. And we figured it. I was looking at it like that, as a once in a lifetime father-son journey. And I'm watching people do Kilimanjaro in that way. I'm watching a guy that I swim with during the week take a decision to do a big birthday trip to Everest Base Camp. I overheard a couple of other friends talking about how they'd like to do a swim trek this year. Swim trek, if you haven't heard of it, is a company in the UK.
I've always wanted to do swim trek, always.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I actually spoke to them recently because I wanted to get an insight into how Irish people were booking their treks and if they'd had a rise since the pandemic because of all the sea swimming going on. And they said, yes, this is their biggest ever year. And that interestingly, the Irish people booking their trips are people looking for challenging swims, which I was surprised by. I thought it'd be more like me looking to do, though I'd consider myself a fairly active swimmer. I might do 2 or 3K in the pool two or three times a week. And I would like to bring that to, I don't know, the Med or somewhere like the Red Sea if you were at a stretch. But they're saying, no, a lot of people want to do, you know, event swims. Same way as someone might go to Boston or New York to do a really big ticket marathon. There's a swim called the Hellespont that takes you across the Bosphorus from Turkey to Greece. And they said that's particularly popular this year.
And for those who don't know, a swim trek is a supported swim holiday on a boat where all your stuff is supplied. You jump off the boat, you swim, you have your lunch, you jump off the boat, you swim. It's a guided swim holiday, basically.
Yeah, and they're diversifying a lot. There's a couple of other tour operators who do. There's not one that dedicates itself to swimming in Ireland, but there are a few in the UK. So some of them are on liveaboard boats. Others, you come back to base each day. You might, and then you transport between swims. You typically have 10 to 15 people on a trip and a guide. And they will break it down beforehand. Are you a beginner? Are you into moderate swims? Me? Are you into challenging swims? Or are you into ultra swims? So I didn't.
I have an ultra swim in about 10 weeks.
What's an ultra swim to you?
10K.
Ooh, okay.
Out by Galleyhead in out near Castle Freak in West Cork, but however.
So you're out of my league. I want to get a face mask on and watch the fish as I swim, but you're going full gung ho.
Having watched the Ireland's Wild documentary on RT the last couple of weeks, I now think I'm going to bump into a basking shark somewhere along the line. It seems to be in every program I've seen in the last 2 weeks. But however, talk to me about it with children then. So, like, you know, are these kind of active holidays popular for people who have children? And what kind of options have they got?
Good question. And I would say on the whole, you had me thinking with this one, because I think less so simply because of the price and because of the variation in ages. So you mentioned the Camino earlier. I see a lot more adults doing the Camino either alone or with buddies. I see them going and doing a stage 1 year and going back and doing another week the next year. For the swims that we spoke about, I don't see many families doing things like that. But what I would see families doing is stuff like going to, let's say, for argument's sake, the Lisbon coast in Portugal, where there's a lot of surf schools, and you can combine, say, a day's 2 or 3 hour surfing in the mornings with the beach, with the trips into Lisbon, gorging yourself on the pastis de nata and all that, and coming back and doing it again in the morning. Also, you can do, it's not to say you can't do them. I have seen people do hiking holidays and cycling holidays as families, but they just kind of need to be on a similar ability level. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, you know, if you have a 2-year-old and you have a 9-year-old and a 16-year-old, everybody's going to go at different paces. But there is another company called G Adventures who do, it's kind of similar to Intrepid in that they do active, more exotic programmed holidays, but they have family tours. One example would be somewhere like Costa Rica, where you could go, you would do stand-up paddling, you'd do jungle treks, you might do a night in the rainforest, zip line adventures and stuff like that. And the kind of, while a lot of bucket list prices are super expensive, they can start from about 1500 or 2000 a person, excluding flights. So if you think about Costa Rica and a family, that's not that much. But so there is a good spread. But I think more so the kind of holidays you and I are talking about are more geared towards adults or buddies doing them.
And let's pull it back to kind of, you know, local then for Ireland. Like, we've amazing options, and I see them time and time again. One I came across recently was it's Slow Cabins. Oh, I've never seen them before. And literally a cabin in the back arse of nowhere, in a field with nothing around you. I was like, oh my God, that's heavenly. Could you imagine? And I looked up their Instagram. Like, there's so many of these things out there. I found another log cabin place up in Leitrim that looked really cool. There's so much out there that looks really, really good value.
Drumhearney, I'd say. There's a lot going on with that. There was the whole interiors boom, the cabin culture that's come to us through Netflix and through you know, our social channels. Then there was Centre Parks upped that whole kind of packaged activity holiday another notch. There's another place called Cabu by the Lakes in County Cavan, which reboots an old kind of Quelch resort with, I'm going to say, maybe two dozen different wooden cabins in a setting. And then you have much smaller operators, like you're talking about Slow Cabins in County Galway. And I stayed at another place near you called The Hidden Haven recently, and Derry Duff.
That looked amazing. There was one shot where there's a big window and there's water at the front of it overlooking like the land, and it looked incredible.
Yeah, super. And that's a simple farm stay, one cabin built on a family's farm. They did it to a lovely high spec. They know what they're doing. And what they're looking at, couples going for somewhere that's really off grid, but they have their creature comforts. But you walk in and they have it decked out for the kind of person we're speaking about. There's wellies, there's a picnic rug. There's towels if you go for a swim. They know that people are going to go for a hike on the mountainside, but then they're going to want to come back and they're going to want to get cozy and they're going to have a seaweed bath, or they're going to want to order in or something like that. But that kind of culture and those kind of really nice eye candy-ish cabin or lodge style stays really go well with this, with the kind of activities we're talking about. As look at Carl, some of it is just aspirational. You know, you want to just sit somewhere that looks lovely, and you may go for a walk for 40 minutes. You don't have to hike,
which is incredibly beneficial. And like, are there times of the year that are really good to go to travel? Like, presumably, obviously, the summer when the kids are off is busier. So if you're going to get caught up in that, sometimes you have to be in that. But there are times where there are deals and there is better value to be had.
Yeah, you look, this is just a truism in travel at this stage. This year it will be more than ever. But if you can go off peak, if you don't have kids of school age and you can do it outside of peak times, you'll save so much money. You can even look at ski holidays. If you go on the February midterm versus the week before or after, the price can rise or drop as much as 40%. So other than that, the time of year is going to depend on the activity. Interestingly, a lot of the alpine resorts that we ski in over the winter flip to become biking and hiking resorts. And they're trying to do this more and more because snow sureness is becoming more and more problematic as climate changes. So they're trying to diversify themselves. And a lot of them are available at better rates in the shoulder and the peak season. If you want to go and cycle or hike, I wouldn't be going doing the Camino at the height of July. Just not only because there'll be a lot of people on it, but because it's really going to take a toll on you in that kind of weather. So it's really just kind of common sense the way we work around.
And does it pay to be cheeky? And what I mean by that is by like sending an email saying, you know, is there a deal, you know, is there an offer or is there a deal, or like, you know, is there any of that, or is it so busy that actually the price?
You will have more leverage and more chance of success if you work where there's going to be availability. So if you're the person checking in on a Sunday and staying on that night looking for a late check out on the Monday, more chance of a deal. If you're not going in July and August when the whole country is looking to cram their summer holidays into the same 8 weeks with all of the tourists coming into Ireland at the same time, where you'll find the value, and we're going to be talking about value and ripoffs and gouging and all that a lot this summer, because there's a lot of price pressure on the tourism industry and on our pockets. But if you can stay 2 or 3 days in resort, get on the phone and ask what else they can give, because the value they'll be able to provide is in the meal or the round of golf or the what a lot of them are calling, it's kind of an American term, but resort credit, where they give you, say, a value of €50 to spend while you're there, that kind of stuff. In summer, a lot of hotels are now looking for minimum stays, so 2 nights or 3 nights. They won't consider a single night booking, because really that's when they pile in the business. But a couple of other things, book direct with the hotel. If you're booking using booking.com, hotels.com, Expedia, they take a cut. So if you go on and book directly, you'll get a lower rate. And some hotels try and incentivize it as well, Carl. They might give you 10% off or a bottle of bubbles in the room or something like that. The other two tips I usually give are, if you're hiring a car, take out a car hire excess policy before you go. Okay. Because you know the way when you get off the plane and you go in and there's a big queue and everyone's grumpy and you're knackered, and then you're hit with this upsell at the desk that you don't really understand. But an excess policy costs about £60 for a year, and it takes care of all the excess stuff. So that's another tip. And I'm telling everyone right now to check their passports or date and book the airport parking.
That happened. The passport thing happened to us once. I very nearly never haven't forgiven my wife. Went to Abu Dhabi and we got into Abu Dhabi and then we got into the passport and we were skewered into the security office. And it was to get in, it has to be over 6 months left on it, and there wasn't. And we just managed to sweet talk our way into the country, just about. But we very nearly got deported. So it's worth checking your passport. What about travel insurance then for active holidays? Is it any more expensive? Yeah. And is it
that's a good point. I didn't think about that before I came on to you, but yes, you need to specify any activities where there's extra risk. And the most common one we would know is skiing. So you need specific winter sports insurance if you're skiing. So if you're in doubt. You won't need it for hiking. You won't need it to go on a greenway. But if you're doing something more adventurous, certainly if it's something like scuba diving, you definitely need to give your insurer a call. And it typically won't be an enormous amount. The best thing to do with travel insurance is have an annual policy. If you have a family, get a family annual policy because there's more value in including you all in it. It could, for winter sports, you know, you could pay 20 or 30 extra over a year. So with travel insurance, the other thing, Carl, is you should take it out when you book the holiday or at least several weeks beforehand, because about a third of the times that we use travel insurance are before we even go. When you think about it, it makes sense. You get sick. Someone can't make it. There's a disruption before you even go. So there's no point waiting until the last minute to take it out.
Okay. You mentioned skiing there. Should you book that like now, or do you wait last minute and try and get it? You know, is there better value to be booking really early, or do you wait last minute and try and get a last minute deal?
It's a good question. It depends on what's at stake. If you have a family or a big group going, it's not worth the sweat to leave it till the last minute, because you could end up with the worst rooms. You could end up not getting the holiday. You could end up with a high price. If you're not too plus by it, if you're flexible, by all means, give it a shot, because there's likely to be late deals. And if you don't mind whether you're skiing in Andorra or Austria this year, then you can kind of act on what you see. But typically speaking, I'd lock down anything where there's a risk or a big experience or a big outlay as far ahead as you can. And that's not just for ski now, that's for the summer holidays. People who leave the summer holidays to the last minute tend to get the poorer choice of the rooms and the routes. And they also leave themselves, if this is an issue for you, you can also spread out your payments if you book further ahead. So that may not be an issue for everybody, but worth saying. Typically, ski is December through April. So it's gone for this year, but people will be looking at next year. Take a look at the high altitude resorts for the reasons we mentioned earlier, because
particularly lack of snow. Yeah.
And particularly around the fringes of the season, the early and late. And the other thing I would say is the price you look at for a ski holiday won't include, this is more sort of for beginners. It won't include the skis and it won't include the lift passes the schools. So just bear that in mind when you're doing your maths.
So Desert Island Discs time now. So if I was to say to you, look, you know, we're going to go off on an active holiday in Ireland, give us a couple of your favorite ones that you love to do. Share them with us. And it's a horrible question. I get that. It's like, oh, what's your best thing? But actually, you know, it's interesting because you've done so much and you know, anyone who reads your columns or follows you on Instagram will see all the places you get to. Some of your favorite kind of things to do for active holidays in Ireland.
Yeah, okay, good question. And fair. I always try and fob that off by saying it's my next one. Because that's why when I got into travel, I was just had this kind of insatiable attitude for seeing new stuff and doing new experiences and feeling that kind of adrenaline and that sense of being alive when you're out there and you're active and you're taking stuff in and you're noticing it. But that said, a couple of wills absolutely spring to mind. I love the Beira Peninsula as one example, which isn't too far from where you are in West Cork, and also Kerry. It straddles the border, cuts between down the middle of the peninsula. But I've gone back several times and it's never as crowded as the Ring of Kerry. And you rarely see big coaches there due to the size of the roads. As far as I'm aware, there's only one hotel on the peninsula, not counting Glengariff and Kenmare now. And I did a walk the last time I was there called the Rabbock Way, which is really buried in the heart of it, in the middle of the peninsula, in this kind of horseshoe shaped valley. You're driving along a road that's just getting thinner and thinner until the grass in the middle of the Boreen is kind of scrubbing the bottom of your car like a brush. And you park up and you follow this little trail, and it brings you, after I think it's an hour and a half or so, into a deserted village. With the stone houses just and the wind whistling between them, and there's a little stream alongside it, and I had the whole valley to myself.
It's like a Dermot Whelan meditation episode. The way you're describing that, you're bringing us all with you, and we're kind of deep breathing on our way. Okay, that sounds like a nice one. What else?
There's a murder story at the end of that, by the way. Just to completely throw in a plot turn, which is worth looking at. I also mentioned that I love the water, and I'm kind of a fair weather swimmer, and I'm not ashamed to say I get the wetsuit out when I hit the sea in the summer, and I get my mask and my snorkel on. And I had a wonderful snorkel in Keane Bay in County Mayo with my daughter. It's many years ago now. That's actually one place where you might see basking shark.
You will. They used to hunt them there. But yeah, that's another anorak conversation. But by all accounts, that's where they come in every single year, and they have done historically for centuries. Yeah. A beautiful part of the world, a fabulous part of the world. And then final one.
I'll go for an activity holiday in Ireland. Will I pull it away from? I'm trying to pull it away from the West Coast. I will go for Rathlin Island.
Oh, how, yeah, good one. Yeah, nice.
So that's off the coast of Northern Ireland. You take a ferry out from Ballycastle, 45 minutes, and you travel back in time. And you get to this island where there maybe 100, 120 people live. This chugging old, you know, repurposed school bus takes you up the hill to a seabird center where you look out on, you know, over 100,000 birds in season, including puffins, just squabbling and flying around. And the sound and the smell and the sensation of it, to think that it's so close to the mainland, but feels like something you'd see in the pages of National Geographic. It took me ages to get there. I'd remembered it from the geography books in school. But finally being on the island and hearing all the stories about it. It's also where Robert the Bruce is supposed to have hidden the cave before he saw that spider persevering with his web and went back to Scotland to take up his fight again. It's supposed to have hidden out there. So just loved it. I loved those kind of moments off grid. I don't need to go there for a month. You know, even a day, 2 days in a place like that will recharge me.
I'm with you. I'm almost looking at the puffins as you talk us through that. You have a fantastic voice for radio. You should do meditation because your voice is absolutely built for it. If people want to follow you on Instagram, remind us where you are.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Polo Cnealis. It's PoloCnghaile. I know we mentioned a couple of companies there, but there's loads of them out there, Carl. Travel Department, TD Active, Navan Travel. There's a Camino company called Magic Hill that does really lovely, thoughtful, sustainably minded trips to the Camino. They're all based in Ireland and they're all doing these kinds of activities we're talking about.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, folks. Go and book your next trip. Go and book your next holiday and go and follow Paul on his Instagram. He does a fantastic Guess Where I Am game every now and again that I'm totally addicted to every time he posts it. That is it for another episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. As ever, you know where we are. realhealth.independent.ie, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram. And if you like what you listen to, don't forget to rate and review. We'll see you soon. Slán go fóill.